Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Tech Doctor podcast. This is Robert, one of the Tech Doctors, and boy, do we have a podcast for you this time. We're going to talk about all the new Apple stuff, iPhone 7, iOS 10, Watch Series 2, Watch OS 3, Apple TV 4, AirPods, Mac OS, Sierra, and I don't know what else might come up, but the good news is I have with me two of the world's leading Apple experts to discuss all this stuff. Of course, there is Allison Hartley way out there somewhere. Hello, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. I'm currently fighting with the very, very unkind Skype gods, so I just hope we hold up here.
You will prevail. I am confident. And there is a man who was willing to give up his lunch hour to podcast with us, Mr. David Woodbridge. How are you, sir? Welcome back to the Tech Doctor podcast.
I'm very well, thank you. I'm glad to be back on again.
Excellent. We're glad to have you. It's always fun to discuss new Apple stuff with you. So, Allison, I'm going to throw the ball at you because I have no idea where to start. Which of these new devices would you like to start talking about?
Well, let's get the operating systems out of the way first, and then we can start with the devices. Let's start with iOS 10. I've been living with iOS 10 now for quite a while. I've had the betas off and on my old 6S Plus, and it was a very, very stable beta cycle. I like iOS 10. The new notification feature is still a little bit weird for me to get used to, in terms of having to 3D touch to get more information on your notifications. I like being able to arrange apps by using the Actions rotor. The new way of previewing mail messages, to be quite honest, is still a little weird. You have to three-finger double tap on a message. But overall, I'm liking iOS 10. I like some of the new options for voices. And of course, it runs, you know, super well on my new iPhone 7 Plus as well.
Ah, you're going to even discuss some hardware. How about you, David? How are you in iOS 10 getting along?
It's really funny because I've been part of the beta cycle as well. When it sort of came out officially, I thought, what's actually new again? Because I got so used to using the features that I haven't even got around to doing a podcast with it yet, because I've got to sit down and really work out what's new and what's not. Look, I'd say with me, I absolutely love the new notification center. To me, that's absolutely brilliant. Because I'm so busy and I get lots of tweets and emails and everything else, and I like the ability to be able to quickly check my notification screen without going to my phone. To me, that's probably the main one. And I guess the other one, which is not quite iOS 10, but it sort of is the new feature in Find My iPhone, which allows you to now find your Apple Watch. So to me, that's a great thing because I'm often putting my Apple Watch down because I'm currently testing two at the moment, my Series 1 and the Series 2 watch. And I often put one of them down somewhere and I can just use Find My iPhone to find my Apple Watch. So that's quite good. So I'd say probably the notification center to me and the Find My iPhone are my two main features that I absolutely love.
Well, for me, I'm enjoying the notification center, but I wonder if you all are experiencing a problem where if you have a lot of notifications, it's hard to locate the clear notifications button with VoiceOver.
Yes.
I think sometimes that button just doesn't show up if there are a lot of notifications.
It's very hit or miss.
So hopefully that will be fixed in an update. But other than that, for me, and I didn't use the betas, but I'm finding iOS 10 to be very solid, very few problems with it. It's frustrating to me that they got rid of the delete all option in mail. I like to go through especially my mailboxes that contain mail from email list. I like to flip through them quickly and then just be able to delete everything once I'm done. And that feature's gone, and hopefully it will come back. But I do miss that ability to delete everything in a mailbox with one command.
Actually, the other feature that I really like is the universal clipboard now, where you can copy text or anything else really from your Mac to your iPhone or vice versa if you're running Mac Sierra. So to me, that's actually really useful. I'm constantly copying stuff between my iPhone and my Mac all the time. So for me, that's another really great feature. The other thing I shouldn't mention too, that's not so much for me to use, is the speech options or extra speech options now in the speech panel in accessibility, where you can have character or word echo on the on-screen keyboard. So rather than having to completely use VoiceOver if you're a low vision person, you can actually use the speak character or speak word plus the predictions with speech output. So if you're a low vision person using magnification or larger fonts, you can actually get the keyboard to talk now, and I think that's a really great feature.
That's pretty awesome. And don't forget about the pronunciation dictionary. It's been pretty awesome to hear my friend Bruce Taves' name pronounced correctly. It's spelled T-O-E-W-S, and no speech synthesizer on the iPhone has ever gotten it right until I was able to use the pronunciation dictionary to fix it.
Actually, what I find is really weird, though, the new, I can't remember what the right name for it now, it's where you can actually get VoiceOver to do the sounds for navigation at a different channel, left, right, or middle. For when you're navigating, and it's quite odd because I often play with it and it just sounds so wrong when you change the sound feedback of what VoiceOver is doing with the clicks on the screen to hear it coming out of the left and right, you know, your speakers or your headphones, rather than actually using it with, you know, both stereo channels happening. So I'm still yet to play with that. What I'd love for it to do, though, would be to have the effect of listening to, say, an audio book out of one ear, and then have your speech completely coming out of the other ear.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That'd be brilliant.
So at this point, I take it it's not possible to do that.
No, it doesn't appear to be.
Oh. Have either of you tried any of the new Siri-enabled apps? I know apps like Lyft and Uber and PayPal and a couple of other apps have gotten Siri support. And now that I live in Napa, I'm walking everywhere, so I haven't really had a chance to use Lyft or Uber. I haven't, thankfully, had to PayPal anybody anything yet. Robert, your $1 million is still en route.
Sure.
But I haven't had the need to really use the new Siri support. But from what I remember, it's pretty limited. I would like to be able to use Siri to tell Audible, start playing, you know, resume Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. But the Siri support is just limited to a couple of categories of apps. So I haven't really had a chance to mess with it much.
I've heard people say that it's kind of limited. I'm not sure how much information you get when you use it to order an Uber, for example.
I think I'm going to just try it this weekend and just run a not needed errand just to test it out and see.
You can actually get Siri to check your battery level across all the operating systems now, except for the Apple TV. But with the watch, the iPhone, and the Mac, using Siri, you can actually say, what is my battery level or what is the battery level? And you'll get it to tell you the battery level, which I think is a great new feature. I think it should have done that from the word go, actually.
Yeah. Ooh, I've not tried that.
Well, that is a nice feature. I wasn't aware of that either. So we can all agree that I think iOS 10 is a nice update, and we would certainly recommend everybody updating to it for no other reason to get all the security updates that get added every time. But it's not just a huge change from iOS 9, at least for voiceover users, but I think there's some nice stuff there.
Yes, and look, I haven't really played with the extra voices. I mean, I know they've got new voices in there, including Fred, the original, or one of the original Mac voices.
Yep. it was interesting when I was installing my new iPhone the other day. For some reason, it came back up with the Fred voice.
Oh my God! So did mine when I first restored the backup and triple click to when VoiceOver came back, when the phone restarted. Yeah, it was Fred.
Yeah.
The whole set, it was really awful.
must default to Fred, I guess.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Oh, dear.
But Fred's all right. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's an old guy.
Some say that they think Fred is really great at very high speeds. I don't think Fred's really terrible. Great at anything.
She was terrible, because I have Karen up to 100%. And I was like, oh, good, I'll be back to Karen. And all I heard when I restarted my phone was... And I was like, oh, Christ, is it in another language? What happened?
Yeah. You
know? And no, it was just Fred. And when I slowed him down, I understood that it was actually English.
Yeah, he's pretty ordinary.
We've mentioned a couple things about macOS Sierra. Maybe we should just go ahead and touch base fully on that one before we move on. I'm enjoying having Siri on the Mac, and Sierra's running really well for me, just in terms of its responsiveness, and I'm not really seeing any problems with it. How about you, Allison? How's Sierra for you?
I updated to Sierra. I set it up. I played with it long enough to realize that it was really snappy, and I closed my Mac, and honest to God, I've been so busy with the move and work and everything, I have not really touched it since till now.
It seems to be
okay, although I don't know if the Skype issues I'm having are Sierra related. I suspect they're not. But it seems to work beautifully and be really, really snappy, particularly in terms of Safari, which was always kind of sluggish for me, even up into LCAP. But it's crazy snappy now.
Yeah, I'm finding Safari working really well also. I've got kind of an odd issue that just started with my MacBook and Sierra, but I honestly think it's hardware because I've done a lot of troubleshooting on it. But sometimes when I close the lid and walk away, I get 10 steps away and I hear, enter your password, enter your password. And so it's not actually going to sleep. I come back and reclose the lid and it goes to sleep. And I done the usual things like resetting the PRAM and the system management controller and all that. Didn't make any difference. So a little bit of an odd one. How about you, David? How are you and Sierra getting along?
I actually like it. The main one that I really like was the new, and I know people get a bit scared about this one, but it's the new storage management option, where you can actually go through and you can put stuff on the cloud, which I sort of done with a Dropbox backup, because I don't quite trust iCloud. But that's where, if you're not using a document, the machine will automatically back it up to the iCloud. But the other options in there where you can search for, you know, large iOS or unknown or forgotten iOS backups in iTunes, you can list your larger files. You can really go in and sort how much storage you've got across the operating system in iTunes, in your trash can, if you've forgotten about that as well. So that particular one I really enjoy, because I got about 15 gig back from just cleaning up my hard drive. And the other one I like too is where it tries to maximize, this is part of the copying stuff to the iCloud, trying to maximize your storage on your local drive. This is my current Mac here. I've only got about 128 gig hard drive. So the more storage I get back, the better off I like it. So the new storage option for me is great. As I mentioned previously, the universal copy between the Mac and the iPhone is brilliant. Siri is good because I can stay on the keyboard and just ask Siri questions about, you know, will it rain this afternoon or what's my next appointment? That works really, really nicely. And of course, the other function that I use all the time is use my Apple Watch to unlock my Mac, because I've got two-factor authentication. So every time I come up to my Mac and sit down and wake it up, it just logs in straight away. Now I don't have to keep retyping my password in, because what I found I used to do was, if the last program that I had open was Messages and I didn't quite hear that I was at the password field or I'd already logged in, I was typing into the edit field and hitting enter, and people were seeing my password in the Messenger app.
No.
So to have the Apple Watch now automatically unlock or log into my Mac is absolutely brilliant.
I was really looking forward to that feature. It's one of the things I was most excited about. And then I discovered my Mac is 1 year too old to support unlocking with my Apple Watch. But that's okay. I know how to fix that.
Buy a new one.
That's what I'm going to do as soon as they release them. I'm looking forward to that. Well, it is nice that you mentioned the storage options, especially the ability to clean up your hard drive, because there have been a number of third-party utilities out that people have used to do that kind of stuff for a while, but most of them haven't really been totally accessible. A lot of them have been very graphics-oriented, so it's nice to have something built in that sounds like it's fully accessible.
It is. I mean, you've got to do a little bit of, you know, interacting and uninteracting and that sort of stuff, but no, it really does work. And the fact that I went through and it brought up the fact that in iTunes I had iOS backups for the last, 4 years, and that's where I saved a fair bit of room. So being able just to, you know, select and have a look at what you've currently got on your drive is absolutely brilliant.
That does sound great. I was using a program called Clean My Mac that was accessible, but I might switch to this because no matter what I do, I can't get Clean My Mac to stop notifying me. It's time to clean your Mac. It's time to clean your Mac. So I might just get rid of it.
Actually, the other function that I really like too now in TextEdit is where you can have multiple documents open in one window. They just have the tabs for the different documents, and you can just switch between them quickly. So I find when I'm doing my show notes for my radio program, to have a couple of documents open really works very nicely.
That is nice.
So for you, you like tabs better than multiple windows, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely.
I was wondering whether people would find that to be much of an advantage because they've now gotten tabs in just about everything.
I don't know. It just feels cleaner. Just you've got four tabs open in TextEdit. You've got three tabs open in Safari. You know, I can use multiple tabs in Finder. To me, it just feels like your desktop of your computer, if you like, is much more organized. With the multiple windows, I was actually using Mission Control a lot more because I'd find that, for example, in TextEdit, I might have nine windows of TextEdit documents open, whereas this way I can actually really check what I'm currently working with the tabs now.
And just so people know, isn't the hotkey, the shortcut key to switch between tabs, Control Tab?
Actually, Robert, I just checked. It is Control Tab. I just went into TextEdit and merged my 12 documents.
Okay.
And yes, it's Control Tab, or of course Shift Control Tab to go backwards. And actually, we forgot the other really, really cool function for VoiceOver. Now you can turn things off. And that's the dreaded one row added.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Look,
Twitter or some other, or mail that keeps, you know, bringing in your mail. So now we can just hear clicks rather than going one row added. So to me, you know, it sounds like a very small feature, but my goodness, that one row added was extremely irritating. It's probably more irritating than the busy, busy thing that we get sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you simply go to your VoiceOver settings control panel and go down to verbosity, and you can find in there where to change that verbosity setting so you just get the clicks. And it works well.
Or nothing if you want. I personally just want – you can set it to do nothing, I think.
Right, you can.
Yeah.
So you don't have to
hear
anything.
When I'm on Twitter especially, I just want, if I want to check if there's a new row, I'll just hit the up arrow.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, how about good old TVOS 4? Is it 4? Yeah.
Yes.
anything exciting for anybody in TVOS? Personally, I'm glad we have Alex now on Apple TV.
I'm glad for Karen, and I'm glad that I can finally change the voiceover volume in the rotor. Oh, my God. That has changed my entire Apple TV experience. It used to be I have my Apple TV. I don't have it hooked up to a TV. I have it hooked using a little HDMI converter box to a pair of really nice speakers that we have. And it was always crazy because I would get the volume on the speakers really nice for us to listen to a show, and then voiceover would just scream when it was done. And it just drove me crazy to the point where I just wasn't using the Apple TV as much. But now I have VoiceOver turned down to about half, So now she just comes in very quietly and politely when the show's done, and we just go on our way.
But that's probably the major one for me as well. I mean, I know we've got the extra voices. I guess the other really cool thing for low vision, again, is the – oh, gee, what do they call it now? It's the new terminology. But basically they've got the contrast options now for Apple TV. So if you're low vision, you can do better contrast control on the actual system as well. So for me, that was quite handy. But it's really funny. Adding new voices to the Mac, iOS, and Apple TV OS, I've always been of the belief that, you know, if you can understand a synthesizer, that's fine. The synthesizer is not the most important thing sometimes. It's the fact that you're getting access to the information that you need. And I know some people have trouble listening to some type of synthesizer that you can change, you know, the personality, the pitch rate, all that sort of stuff. But to me, sometimes when somebody goes, hey, look, this is this new voice on this system, it's like, well, that's all well and good, but it needs to be followed up with other flexibility options or new improvements as well, not just the fact that it's got new voices.
Yeah, I agree with you. New voices don't excite me personally all that much. They're fun to listen to them and see what they sound like, but I use Alex or Karen most of the time, honestly. So
yeah, I've got Karen on everything now.
I know you are a big Karen fan.
I am. I hope if I ever meet her someday, I don't have a total fangirl meltdown.
You may. I'd like to be there and see that. That would be fabulous. I know one of the options that I haven't actually seen working, but I understand with tvOS 4, now if you get to a place where you need to use the keyboard on the remote, Continuity gives you the option to do that keyboarding on your iOS device, even if you don't have the remote app on the device. Have either of you all seen that actually work?
No, but how?
No.
How does it just?
I was reading about it today in Jonathan Mosen's Apple TV book, and he said that when a keyboard comes up, you should get a notification on your iOS device that you can use it.
What?
If you would like.
Oh my goodness, I've never seen that.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm, wow. Quick, stop the podcast. Let's go and play.
Let's go, yeah.
I've got the Apple TV right here.
I just thought that was interesting. We'll have to report back whether we can actually make that work or not. I think that Apple TV is really maturing, and we can now do almost everything and more, I guess, than that we could do with earlier versions. I mean, with Bluetooth keyboards, and it's become a really nice platform, I think.
I agree. I use it so much for Netflix, so much.
Yeah, it's especially great for Netflix. It would be nice if you could do a search for a show and it would search across all the apps and just bring up the show without you having to figure out, okay, do I want to watch it in Netflix or do I want the iTunes version? But I'm sure they're trying to work all that stuff out.
I would love it if they had messages on the Apple TV. That would be brilliant.
You mean iMessages?
iMessages. Mm.
That would be kind of cool.
Because with the Bluetooth keyboard, or if the keyboard pops up on your iOS device, that would be really nice because sometimes it's just nice to be able to do things on one device rather than having to switch all the time. And I think that would be really cool that if you're watching, you know, TV and something and somebody messages you, think, oh, well, hang on a minute, I'll just pause my TV, pop into the iMessage app, write a quick reply, see the notifications pop up on the Apple TV screen. I reckon that'd be really, really cool.
One thing that still frustrates me is when I AirPlay something to the Apple TV, the volume of what is being AirPlayed is still significantly lower than, say, what I would be listening to on Netflix. And so I'm finding that I still have to do a lot of fiddling around with the volume, either on the phone or on the speakers, to get it to a good volume. I wish they would make AirPlay not suck as much.
I hadn't noticed that. All right, so where shall we go from here? How about watch OS 3 and
Oh, this is my exciting one. This is the one I'm really enthusiastic about. This one.
Well, you do hold the world record for the most number of Apple Watch podcasts ever recorded. So I'm yes. hoping you're excited about this one.
I'm excited about the Watch OS version 3. I'm probably not particularly excited about the Series 2 watch, but as far as the Watch version 3 goes, to me the absolutely spectacular feature, of course, was the Taptic Time, where you can literally just double tap your watch face and get the time to vibrate out for you. And if you do, of course, do a three-finger triple tap, then you just get the minutes for the current hour. So to me, that was an absolute brilliant one. As people might remember before, then we had to use that separate third-party app, or just the app called Time Buzz. But now if you turn it on within the watch app itself on your iOS device under the voiceover settings, just to get the Taptic Time feedback, particularly if you're in a very, very long meeting, is really, really nice.
It is. And I find that it works really well.
Oh, it does. And the fact that because I've got a granddaughter, I've actually got the Minnie and Mickey Mouse watch faces running, plus the modular watch face. So I can do a two-finger swipe left and right, depending on what I'm doing to go between the modular Mickey and Minnie, and also to do the double tap or the triple tap for the time. But the other really cool thing that I also like, besides those talking watch faces, is the fact that with the auto speak option now, I can actually make the activity complication on the clock face speak automatically. So when I'm on the treadmill and I've got raise to speak turned on in voiceover, I can just raise my wrist to tell me how much exercise and effort I'm putting in to walking or running on the treadmill now, rather than having to actually touch the watch face to get the activity read back to me.
Yes. Yes. It's funny that you and I have the same watch face as the modular and the mouses. So just because they're fun, I think. And it is really great that you can so easily switch between watch faces now. And I think the change to get rid of the friends button and turn it into a dock is a very excellent change. And now everything loads from the dock a lot faster. And even with the original Apple Watch, things are quite a bit faster. How much of a difference are you seeing in the speed and responsiveness between the original and Series 2, since you're looking at both of them?
Look, it's not – it is faster. I wouldn't say it's twice as fast. I'd probably say it's about half as fast with voiceover.
Uh-huh.
But look, it's something that wouldn't – I mean, I've got the Series 2 watch on loan at the moment. I've got to do a few demos on, a few podcasts on. But there's the speed difference wouldn't let me necessarily – jump out and buy a new one. So it's not like, and this is showing your age, Robert, it's not like going from an XT machine, 4.77 gigahertz, to a 586 machine.
Right.
It's not that spectacular speed difference. But look, it's not fast enough to make me upgrade. And I still get, because some of the apps still load from the iPhone, you still get the dreaded, as far as voiceover is concerned, loading image.
Right.
So, you know, with those two things, it's like, geez, guys, it's not horrendously spectacular at the moment. The other option that I was looking forward to, but I guess third-party developers have to implement it, is that GPS chip is available to third-party app developers. It's not just for the workout app. So if one day we had, for example, Blind Square being able to be used independently on the watch with the GPS app there, so the GPS chip, that would be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, it would. And maybe that will happen. I think the thing you're talking about, too, with the slow loading of apps, third-party developers are going to have to rework their apps to get more speed. And they really haven't done that much, because I think third-party developers got turned off by the original watch. And I'm betting we're going to see more with watchOS 3, because it's just a better design.
Absolutely. And look, you know, as far as the new apps are concerned, the home app, the heart rate app, and now, of course, the breathing app. I thought the breathing app was a little bit on the silly side initially, but there's nothing nicer in some ways that if you had a really busy or stressful day, just to get that reminder about breathing every now and again, and it really does relax you. So I actually have been using it at work sometimes, particularly if I've had a really long day.
Yeah, I've been using it too. I'm a big believer in that controlled breathing exercise, and I love how it's implemented, how you inhale with the taptic feedback, and then you exhale between the taptic feedback, and it's just easy to do, and it works great. I love the breathing app.
It's great having just started a mm-hmm. new job. But if I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed, that is the one thing I still find myself using the watch for, that and some of the fitness stuff. It's the Breathe app is really cool.
Mm. Well, say a little bit about it from your perspective, Allison, because I know you've made no secret about that you just haven't fallen in love with the watch.
I haven't, and I want very, it's like that person that you meet that would be like the perfect partner, and it's the person that you should love, but there's just not, that magic isn't there. And it's kind of like that for me with the Apple Watch. Ooh. I'm not feeling that spark. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not feeling, and maybe that's good because that might mean it'll explode. But,
but or maybe you were meant to have a platonic relationship with
right,
your watch.
Right. But I'm just not, there's nothing that, you know, some days I remember to put it on and it's great. I get the fitness things and I'm walking a ton now, so that's cool. And I remember the Breathe app, but there isn't any one thing that makes me realize, oh crap, I forgot my watch and now my day is not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same either way. It's nice to have it when it's there, but it's not essential to me yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it will take for it to be that way. I do like the improvements in the new features in watchOS 3. I think it's great. I've pretty much decided that now I probably won't go with the Series 2. I'll keep my Series 1. And maybe go for the next one when it comes out, because other people, David and other people are saying that the speed improvements, especially for voiceover users, aren't crazy enough to really warrant jumping up and upgrading. But I just don't know. I want to love it more than I do, but mm-hmm. it's just kind of there for me right now. It's just kind of there.
Well, you're not alone. You know, people, there are people like David and I who've just really loved it. And then there are people who are at lukewarm, or it's fine, but you know, it doesn't really float my boat. And that's kind of mm-hmm. where you're at. For me, it's just fabulous because I use it to alert me, for example, when my counseling appointment is coming to an end. I use the silent alarm for that. And in watchOS 3, the silent alarm with voiceover running is 100% reliable, where in That's earlier great. Versions, it was about 96% reliable. And I found the only way to get 100% was to turn voiceover off when I was expecting an mm-hmm. alarm. But now that's all been resolved, and it works that's great. Good. And but today, this is the first day I've experienced this. I put on my watch as I do when I first got up this morning. Granted, it was around 4:30 in the morning, but by the time I got home, it was down to 10% battery, and it's usually around 40 or 50% when I get home. So I have no idea what killed the battery today.
That's really odd.
Or if my battery.
I was finding that with watchOS 3 that my battery was dying very quickly. I changed one of the wake on wrist raise settings, and I don't know exactly what I did, but that improved battery life dramatically for me.
Mm-hmm. I got a bazillion breaking news messages on the watch today, and I'm wondering if that killed my battery.
Could be.
But we'll see how it does tomorrow.
I'm very miserly about the notifications that I send. But again, for me, I have my phone always pretty much at arm's length. So my need to have the notifications on my wrist, I'm very rarely separated from my phone. Because mm-hmm. if I'm at my desk, it's on my little dock. If I'm in a meeting, it's right there in my purse or on the table if I'm using it to take notes with a Bluetooth keyboard. And if I'm at home, I pretty much just always have it near me.
Yeah.
Or I'm on the Bluetooth headset and can use Siri.
Well, there's no question in my mind that Watch OS 3 is a huge improvement over what we had before. And so kudos to Apple for that. I mean, I think they really listened to what people were saying and made the changes that everybody wanted. So I'm enjoying it, and we'll see what happens next. I don't think I'm going to upgrade either unless I discover that my battery's just not holding up.
Yeah.
Then I may have to do something, but I guess I could be like an animal and just replace the battery, huh?
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that.
You do have Apple Care after all.
All right, so have we covered the software? I think we have, maybe.
And the watch itself. Yeah, we got it all done.
And the watch itself?
Yeah.
So now are we down to iPhone 7?
iPhone 7, yes. In our case, the Plus. I love it. I think the battery life is even better than it was on my 6S Plus. I find that I'm not missing the headphone jack at all. The pair of wired headphones that I'm using occasionally for sleep, I have one of the 3.5 to Lightning adapters. I can get more if I need them. And I haven't run into a situation yet where I've had to charge and listen at the same time, because when that happens, I just switch over to I usually am using my Bluetooth anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I am absolutely loving the iPhone 7 Plus and the 256 gigs of storage that I absolutely did not need, but totally wanted.
Yeah. 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 I feel much the same about it. I'm really satisfied with the virtual home button. I think it works great.
It feels more or less the same. The difference is not enough for me to really get bent out of shape about it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. And I think the processor is really fast, and I'm suspecting those 3 gigs of RAM that the Plus has helps. And I just couldn't be happier with it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
But our good friend David Woodbridge made me have to go to the Breathe app the other day.
Is the spark not there, David?
When I heard him say on his podcast, I didn't get a new iPhone, and I said, hold on, I've got to talk to this man because I think he's got a fever. What's going on, David?
Right. Well, I've had an iPhone 7 again on loan. It's an iPhone 7 Plus. On loan now for about 3 weeks. I don't know whether I'm just getting not too over Apple, of course. I mean, I've still have my watch and my iPhone and my Mac and everything else. But I've already got an iPhone 6S already. And I was thinking, is there anything that the iPhone 7 Plus does that my iPhone 6S doesn't do? And the answer is no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny because when somebody was showing me the iPhone 7 Plus, it said, oh, look at this. When you toggle some of the system buttons on and off, it vibrates. And I thought, that's been around in Android for such a long time. I can't remember when it first came in, when you drag your finger around with TalkBack or Voice Assistant on Samsung and you get the vibrations over the icon. So that didn't excite me. The virtual home button, you know, I've already got Force Touch on my watch, so to me that wasn't a spectacular thing. Even I know in settings home, you can adjust the Taptic vibration engine so you can get a soft vibration up to the very heavy vibration when you press in the home button. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
I have about 3 wired and 3 Bluetooth headsets that I use for all different reasons, and I thought I don't want to really be stuck on using Bluetooth only. And I know you can. I know I've got the 3.5mm to the Lightning dock and adapter. But, you know, what I did was I spent the last 2 weeks just using the iPhone 7. And I just thought, I've got to charge on my headphones all the time. And when you've got 3 of the silly things, it's just getting a little bit ridiculous. So and besides that, I mean, I've still got iOS 10 running on my iPhone 6S as opposed to the 7. the better camera doesn't really excite me. The faster processor doesn't excite me. The extra RAM doesn't really excite me. So I did get one for my wife, because people may have seen me on Twitter that I did accidentally leave my wife's handbag on the ground behind her car when she backed out of our driveway. So it basically got ran over. So she's got an iPhone 7. So if I need to play with an iPhone 7 Plus, I can.
Yeah.
But no, this one will be basically going back in the mail where I loaned it from, and I'll do one or two podcasts on it. But besides that, you know, my most exciting things, I think, are really iOS 10, Sierra, and Apple Watch. So Apple Watch version 3. So now when I'm thinking about it, I think I'm more excited about the software that Apple's brought out this year rather than the hardware.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I'm sure there are people listening who probably have the 6 or the 6S, the Plus or not, and they're trying to decide whether to upgrade or not. And it's nice to hear different opinions about it.
Yeah.
Allison and I upgrade every year because we have plans that let us do that. And we're just crazy about iPhones, I think. We just always want to do that, and it's exciting and fun. But, you know, the truth is the changes are evolutionary at this point. We don't know what they'll do next year, but it's good to hear that perspective.
Yeah, and look, you know, when the 10th anniversary phone comes out next year, and if it has wireless charging, which is my sort of holy grail, I'll definitely be getting a new iPhone regardless of what else it might have in it, because for me, wireless charging is what, you know, we effectively have wireless charging now on the Apple Watch where you can just pop it on the little pug. But I'd love that with the iPhone 8 or whatever it's going to be called next year. That'll be absolutely spectacular, I think.
Yeah. It's funny. There were already rumors about next year's iPhone before.
I know. Before the 7 even was released.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
I want to get my hands on new AirPods. Not EarPods, but AirPods.
Yeah.
Mainly because it does the automatic switching between whatever Bluetooth device you may be using. So for me, I can switch between my iPhone, my Mac, and my Apple Watch. And to me, that's, again, sort of the holy grail of Bluetooth connectivity, where the actual system itself automatically switches depending on what device is active.
Did I hear you say that you had a chance to demo the AirPods briefly?
I did, yes. They feel exactly like the wired EarPods, as in EAR, not AIR.
Yeah.
They're very light. The sound was beautiful. They fit into a very nice little snug charging box with a little lightning connector underneath it. And it truly is, when you pull them out and put them on one ear, it, you know, starts playing music. And if you pull the other one out and pop it in your other ear, it automatically detects the fact that you've got them both on. So stereo turns on. VoiceOver didn't, you know, it wasn't sluggish at all. The music was lovely, good bass and reasonably good treble. So it was a really nice experience. I mean, again, the only thing I'm worried about, that, I mean, they did fit in my ears pretty nicely, but, you know, for over here in Australia, for close to $200, I think it's $60 Australian, I don't know whether I want to be walking around outside or traveling on public transport, because I'd hate to lose one of the EarPods.
Yeah.
Because you've really stuffed up the whole system then. So I am definitely going to buy ones, and I'll probably use them at home, but I certainly won't be using them out and about.
I have never done well with the EarPod model. They don't really fit in my ear. I haven't really found very few in-ear headphones that I can wear comfortably for long periods of time. But the new Beats Solo 3 headphones have also the same M1 chip. So I'm hoping that if I get a pair of those, that I'll still be able to take advantage of the auto pairing to the different devices and the lack of lag, and have more of a traditional on-ear headphone type experience.
David, when you said not much lag with VoiceOver, did you happen to try typing anything on the keyboard with the AirPods and VoiceOver?
I did. And look, I'd have to say the pause was probably less than what I'm currently getting with my bone conduction titanium ones at the moment. So even those are pretty quick. So this one was slightly faster. The one thing I really wanted to try, which I didn't get a chance to do, was You know, sometimes when you've got your iPhone in your pocket and you've got your Bluetooth headsets on, sometimes the connectivity gets a bit wobbly because right. for some odd reason your pants are blocking the signal. So I didn't get to try that one because to me that's the most irritating thing. When I'm gardening or washing the car or doing some other stuff, to me it's when the Bluetooth starts getting a bit sort of wobbly. That really irritates me. So that's the first thing I'm going to be trying when I do officially get my own pair.
One of the things I've heard is that you can be up to, with this new M1 chip, some people are finding they can be up to 400 feet away from their phone and still get really good connectivity.
That's a huge enhancement to Bluetooth.
Yeah.
I really think Apple's on to something with the AirPods and talking to Siri and the idea that you just wear the same earphones and go from room to room and different devices. And I suspect we're going to see more and more of this type interface coming along.
I think so too, yeah. I mean, to me, that's the sort of the thing that I'd love to do. I mean, I know it's funny when you see these tweets and sometimes they go, this is how you turn off HEY Siri on your iPad or your iPhone. It's like, why would you want to do that? Don't you want the convenience and be able to walk past your iOS device or your OS X device and just go, HEY Siri, what's the weather or what's my next appointment? Not even having to touch anything. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Right.
I'm looking forward to the rumored Siri home device that has the great, awesome microphones because I have the Amazon Echo now and I can shout at it pretty much from all over the house and get her to respond. But with Siri right now, even on the iPad and iPhone, it doesn't always listen. So I'm hoping that we can get an Amazon Echo rival going. That would be cool.
Yeah, plus it'd be great for those of us who really live in the Apple ecosphere. I don't do much with Amazon. I don't do much with Google.
Right. She's kind of a stranger in our midst here. Yeah. It's just not the same kind of experience. She works and she does well with the things she does, but I would like to replace her with a Siri. I'm not saying her name because I don't want her to get upset.
I understand. One thing before we just completely leave the AirPods, I've heard, you know, people worrying about the fact that there are no volume controls or skip forward and back controls on the earpieces themselves, that you have to do that through Siri or through your phone. And I really gonna have to try them to see, but I'm not sure whether I'll decide that's a big inconvenience or a big deal or not.
I don't think to me it would be. I mean, I just get it. I still get a buzz out of the fact that you're using a bit of artificial intelligence to control your device. So
yeah,
I think it would get a little bit annoying if you have to keep saying, you know, volume up, volume up, volume up, volume down, volume down. But then again, you know, most of the time you get your system at a nice, comfortable listening volume. And unless you're going through a noisy environment or, you know, your partner decides to do the vacuuming in the middle of an audiobook, then you know, there are those circumstances, but otherwise, I don't really change the volume on my iPhone that much, really.
Me either. I think it'd be more of a big deal for the pause, rewind, and sometimes forward, because a lot of times I have to admit I skip those commercials in those podcasts.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just not a good podcast listener.
That 30-second or 2-minute jump's fantastic, isn't it?
Yep, it is. It is nice for sure. Well, I think there's a lot here in all the things that we've talked about. I hope people will upgrade your devices and enjoy what's new. I'm really hopeful that we're going to see new MacBook hardware later this month. The rumors are heating up, but of course, no one ever really knows until Apple makes an announcement. So we have to wait on that. But in summary, I'm pretty excited about all the new things that we have. And let's just go around and see if either of you all have anything else you want to add before we bring this to a close. David, have we covered everything you could possibly want to say about all this stuff?
Look, I think so. I mean, as usual with Apple, it's always a very gradual progression about introducing new features or new hardware features. So to me, I just see it as a growing process. As soon as I don't buy something, people think, hello, David, we're just going to switch over to Android or back into Windows and that sort of stuff. But, you know, to me, most of my podcasts, if people are paying attention to them, are about things that I actually own and use myself. And so to be honest to that theme of my podcasting, I guess, and my Twitter and my blogging, that's what I tend to do. So that's why I'm probably going to do, you know, one or two on the demo iPhone 7 and the Apple Watch Series 2. Because at the end of the day, I really only do podcasts on stuff that I know I'm going to use all the time myself.
I do have a working theory, David. I personally believe you fell in love with a coffee machine. And... could be part of the reason there is no new iPhone.
That probably could, yes. When something costs about $3,500, one can't really turn around and buy something else for $100. See, so
I thought there may be some validity to my theory. It's really been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you for taking your lunch hour to be with us.
That's okay. My pleasure.
It's always fun to talk about the new stuff. Allison, where are you at with all this? You still liking it, or are you going to sell it all?
maybe someday the Apple Watch, although it still holds enough sway for me that occasionally I'm still getting some use out of it. So I'll probably just plunk down my money on the Beats Solo 3 and not sell anything.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm enjoying, you know, I've immersed myself every year more and more and more into the Apple ecosystem, to the point where I gave my Windows machine to Jeremy for good now. So I'm all in, and I have had no regrets.
Well, yeah, you sort of really put both feet in the water when you showed up at MacStock this year. So I think you've done it now.
Yep.
Well, we hope you all enjoyed this one. This has been a lot of fun for us every time we get to come on and talk about new stuff. If you would like to communicate with us about what we've had to say here, can they still send us an email, or are we just going to go with the carrier pigeon?
They can, although there's been internet silence lately.
Yeah.
But you can send an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. Sometime when I have a spare moment or half, I will also try to get us a voicemail system set up, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Sounds good. Well, thank you all for hanging with us and listening here. This is Robert, one of the Tech Doctors, saying so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other Tech Doctor, saying bye, everyone.